Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Michael Irvin should be joining us. Oh, he is. Oh, he's here. All right. And here he is, the great three-time Super Bowl champion, the Hall of Famer, number 88 in your program, our good buddy, Michael Irvin. Mike, how are you?
What do you mean should be joining you? I couldn't wait to make this call. After they made the call of hiring Adam Gase, I said, okay, I can't wait to talk to those guys. And I see, you know, people are, I was watching, so I don't even remember what I was watching. They were messing around about Adam Gates and his eyes.
Yeah, right.
With that.
Glad you're getting a good laugh.
I said, oh my God. I said, what my boy is doing right now? What is Joe doing right now, well, when they brought that man in, what is he doing?
You know, I wanted McCarthy. I will say this, okay? I feel better about, first of all, I love the Greg Williams hiring as a defensive coordinator. I mean, to me, that's a tremendous move, no doubt about it.
With that young defense?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
with that young defense, I like that too.
Yeah, no doubt. And I'm feeling better about Gase only because of the fact that, Williams is here. And that Gase is going to spend all his time with the young quarterback, which is a good thing. But you know what, Mike? Here's the bottom line. This coaching staff has to be better than the one that they're replacing, because that coaching staff, look, Todd Bowles is a fine man, and he may be a great defensive coordinator. He was a terrible head coach. And that coaching staff was probably, I don't think it's probably, outside of the Richie Kotite, the 2 years he coached his team in 95 and 96, this is the worst coaching staff that's ever been, and that's saying something, that's ever been in the history of the Jets. So I just based on that, I feel better about it.
Okay, now, tell me now, with this move that we are having towards the McVay move, I'll call
right,
it the McVay
right,
move,
right,
and taking in people that, you know, that are not truly winning in other places, you know, Kingsbury and even Adam Gates. I mean, he did some good things when Ryan Tannehill was on the field and everything. But overall, I mean, how do you feel about all of that that's going on in this league?
Well, I'd feel better about Gase. If Gase had the Miami job and then went somewhere to be an offensive coordinator again for a couple of years, and then the Jets hired him, I'd feel better about that. I don't like the fact that he's coming right from his first job to his next job. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That kind of worries. That does worry me. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, Belichick did it, though. I just want to drop that on.
No, he didn't do it immediately.
He went back and was a coordinator.
Yeah, he was with Parcells in New England and with the Jets before he got the Patriot job.
Right. But it was soon that he got back in the seat. And sometimes I'm just trying to give you something to hold on to here so you don't go crazy.
No, I told you. I look, here's the thing, Mike. He's here now. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't change it. He is the coach. They did bring Greg Williams in, which, I think that's a tremendous thing that they did that. They do have what looks to be a fine young quarterback, which is something they haven't had for, you know, basically 50 years. You know, so I got that to hang my hat on. And like I said, I just think that there's going to be discipline on this team. They were not a disciplined team under Bowles. The stupid penalties they continue to do all the time. Just some of the stuff that, you know, guys got away with probably off the field that we don't even know about. There was a lot of that going on. So I from that aspect alone, it has to be an improvement. Now, is he going to get me a Super Bowl in 3 years? Here's what I want. I want to see Sam Darnold in his fourth year, okay, win a Super Bowl. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Is that too much to ask, Mike?
Well, and that's usually the measuring rod. At least you're giving him the 4 years. Now, that number has moved up we want everybody to be the Mahomes or, and I'm going to drop the name, Dak Prescott, who jumps right in, wins 13 games. That's what we want now. The Carson Wentz, who jumped in, the Jared Goff.
Yes.
We don't even give that 4 years to anybody anymore. When Troy Aikman first came in, that's what we were talking about.
Hey, right.
In his first 4 years now, let's give him a few years to get ready. We should be winning around his fourth year. And actually, we did.
Right. So, but let me just go back to the guys you just mentioned. I mean, none of them has won the Super Bowl yet. I mean, we haven't seen Mahomes win a Super Bowl. We haven't seen Carson Wentz win a Super Bowl. We haven't seen Dak Prescott win a Super Bowl. We haven't seen Jared Goff win a Super Bowl. So, yes, next year, I expect this team to win, you know, 9, 10, 11 games. I mean,
that's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
What you just said there. We haven't seen him win Super Bowls, but we've seen him win 10, 11, 12, 13 games.
Well, I expect that. I expect that next year, Mike.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, and that's what I'm – and it was – we used to get these kids a couple of years to get to that point. You know, Troy Aikman went through his first year.
Right.
And
they won one game.
He didn't win any game. We only won one game.
And he wasn't even the quarterback. Steve Walsh was the quarterback in that game.
In the game that we won.
Yep.
Exactly. And,
yep.
And that's what – and you were like, okay, look at what Peyton Manning went through. You know, that's what you did. Now, in this new era, that's the thing. And that's part of it, too. When you bring in these new guys, bring in an offense, don't tell me about a learning curve for the quarterback. Get them on there, get them up and going right now. That's the whole thing. And I think all of that also has something to do with where we're drafting now, because we're taking players with a cap on the draft, and we're saying, hey, I know I gave you $25 million, but if you ain't ready in 3 years, and you got already paid the 15 of that 20, 15 of that 20, we're going to look back in this draft to find us somebody else. This thing is serious, man. It is serious. Pete, everybody wants winning when somebody has to lose, and they want it now. It's a microwave world, and it's just crazy.
Listen, you could talk all you want about Adam Gase and offense, but we have to mention the Dallas Cowboys, Michael. We're not just going to ignore. We're not just going to forget about what happened.
Well, we got to get there. I had no issue with that.
All right.
I'm not trying to skirt this issue.
I know. I'm playing with it.
Well, he came right after us, with Adam Gase.
I know, because he's trying to deflect from the Cowboys.
Is that what he was doing?
No,
I didn't think he was doing that.
I can't believe you have it. Go on.
Mike, I didn't think you were doing that, to be honest.
You're more noble than I am.
I guess so.
But, you know, the thing that jumped out at me about the Cowboy game was the defense. How the Rams, especially in the first half of this game, they are marching down the field at will. Give me your thoughts on the Cowboy overall defensive performance after what they had done the week before.
And this is why I said, and I may have even said here, that I'd hoped that the route for the Cowboys really went back through New Orleans, because I figured that it was going to be a struggle for them in with the Rams because of what McVay does. So much misdirection. Misdirection. And if you looked at it, you saw them standing around looking. Everybody kept talking about how great the offensive line did for the Rams. And of course, they did great because the results shows great, so you give them credit. But the reason they were able to do that, it's because Cowboys got caught staring in the backfield instead of attacking, because there was so much misdirection. They didn't know where the ball was going. This was like hot potato. With all that he does. And those holes that he had, go back and look at that. If you look at it again, whenever they show highlights of C.J. Anderson running them or Todd Gurley running, there are gigantic holes that they're not being touched in. They're not even being touched until they're 12, 13 yards down the field. So I was like, man, this is not a physical thing. This is just a misdirection, and these young guys are standing around watching as opposed to attacking, and they have been attacking all year, and it's confusing. Even on that last play where Jared Goff bootlegs and goes and gets the first down, you see Jeff Heath standing there looking into the backfield while Jared Goff is bootlegging right by him. I was like, man, make the tackle. You could have easily made that tackle and got that ball back and had a chance to go tie that game, and they didn't do it. It was Sean McVay in that offense moving around and doing all that they did that totally, totally confused the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, with that said, they're down 23-15. They got a 4th-and-1, and I forget where they're like maybe the 35, whatever yard line. and they don't convert.
I mean, convert.
To me, that was the biggest play of the game. And you get a first down.
Right then it was definitely a big play then. When you went for 10 on third downs and all that, all of those are big plays to me. And then I'll tell you what else I thought was a huge play. The hands to the face by Byron Jones.
Oh yeah. Oh, definitely.
Oh my God, that changed the game right there.
What was it, like a 3rd and 14 or something like that?
3rd and 14, you stopped him. Yep. I think you're down eight.
Yep, you're down eight
with a chance to go tie this game, and you got a little momentum going. You just stopped him, and then bam, you can't get off the field. That was a problem. And, oh God, you could see the air go out of him. And in that spot, man, I told you, you had to have something happen early good. And they got it. They went down and got that first take, touchdown. Yep. We're up 7-3. Or you got to make sure that you play clean games later on, like after halftime. And that didn't happen. And you got to give credit to the Rams. They did a good job and won that game.
Yep. You know, there was a decision Sean McVay made in this game that could have gone down as one of the worst, but it worked, so we forgot about it. When they were up by eight and they had a 4th and goal from the 1-yard line with about 7.5 minutes to go. Yeah, you kick a field goal, you're up by 11, right? Yeah,
right.
7 minutes to go. The odds are the Cowboys aren't coming back. It's a chip shot field goal. And he decided on 4th and goal from the 1 to go for it, and it worked. So instead of it being an 11-point game, it's a 15-point game. But I thought that was really, really gutsy, because if they don't get in on 4th and goal from the 1, granted the Cowboys have terrible field position, but it's a 1-possession game.
Right, and they made it work. And everybody, I heard the guys talking about that. They were like, "That was the right decision. We wanted to put them away. We wanted to put them away." And the decision was made easier because they had 2 100-yard rushes. They were like, "Wait a minute. We're running this ball so well right now. We would be crazy to kick the field. You wouldn't have been crazy to kick the field goal, but
no.
that's along with the fad of the NFL, and that's along with the legacy or the legend of Sean McVay making that kind of call, and everybody now trying to even solidify more, saying, "I want young Sean McVay." You know, so that was a gutsy call.
How about the Chargers not showing up in Foxborough? I mean, look, I'm not surprised the Patriots beat them. But, I mean, you know, I expected a lot more from the Chargers than what we got on Sunday.
On both sides. I mean, Philip Rivers, you're having this kind of problem with the blitz at this stage in your career. You guys are having this kind of problems with being blitzed. That blew my mind, you know. And then on the other side, the Chargers, you mean to tell me you going to back that thing up against Bill Belichick? You just going to back that thing up? You just going to step in here with those 7 DBs that you just did against the Ravens?
Right,
you
right.
Ain't got no new dance? You going to come in here dancing that same two-step, and Bill Belichick already saw your two-step? Come on, man. You can't do that. You can't do it. He said, "Okay, you got all those little guys on the field. Uh-huh, I got you. Okay, let's go down your gut. You know, well, I'm going to come down your gut. I'm not running." You put speed on the field to chase down Lamar Jackson. I'm putting girth on the field to run right at you. I ain't running from you. I'm running right at you because you are small with those 7 DBs on the field. And that's exactly what they did.
When we saw the Patriots and Chiefs a few months ago, we saw a lot of offense at Gillette. 43-40, I think, was the final score.
Yes, exactly.
What do you think we see on Sunday? It's going to be a lot colder, obviously. It's in Kansas City. There's no Kareem Hunt, which matters because he was very productive in that game against the Patriots. But Tyreek Hill will still do his damage, as we've seen. Where do you think this score plays on Sunday? Is it going to be the 40s again or significantly less?
No, I think we're going to be significantly less. When we say significantly less, maybe you get in the high 20s, possibly cracking 30, but certainly not up in those 40s, you know, because these guys are both still used to playing. I don't know if you ever really get used to playing in it, but they've played quite a bit in the cold because of where they're located and everything. But yeah, there's no way. Because you're not going to have, and I believe that plays into the hands, and everybody always, and people talk about it. They're the luckiest people in the world. That's what the Patriots are. Yes, they're great. Yes, they're legendary. They have two GOATs. I don't care what you said, two GOATs, two of the greatest of all time at the very key positions of the NFL, a head coach and quarterback. But then they also got that rabbit foot in their pocket because that weather situation helps them way more than anything. And it helps them and hurts the Chiefs because the Chiefs are the explosive team. They're the one that's going up the field with the ball. And that ball, that cone is heavy and it's harder to project and see and throw deep. And it takes out some of the explosive ability of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, boy, that helps the New England Patriots so much because they don't have that kind of explosive ability, but they do have ability to grind with you. Now, on that same token, though, Evan, let me tell you something, man. That Chiefs defense, I don't know, two things I saw that I said, who the hell woke them up? That Chiefs defense and Ndamukong Suh. I don't know who woke them up.
Mm.
Who told? Did somebody woke them boys up, man? That Chief defense was everywhere.
Hey.
And Ndamukong Suh looked like he was revived. He looked like he was saying, man, ain't been nowhere near this in years, and I'm not going to blow it. This might be my last go-round, and he played ball.
Hey, the Chiefs have good players who can get to the quarterback. I mean, D. Ford's had a hell of a year. Justin Houston, when he plays, is a really good player. Chris Jones had, 16 sacks this year. They got players that can get to the quarterback, man.
Yeah, but they were not getting there. They were not when they were getting quarterback, they just were not stopping teams.
Right.
They were paper. They were paper. So, yeah, that game you talked about, 43-40, they lost. You come back, the Rams, 54-51 or something like that, on that game. It was – in all of these big games, it was arena football.
Mm.
It was arena football because of that defense. And now, that defense coming up making those kinds of stops like they did against Indy, if they can play like that this week, then they got a great shot.
Well, to me, they got to hit Brady. I mean, Brady wasn't touched by the Chargers. I mean, can they get to Brady? And I mean, they did it to Luck. I mean, to me, that was the difference in the game. Their defense, like you said, was tremendous. Can they get pressure on Brady in this game, in your mind?
And that's the key. And here it is now. And this is how Brady, did you see, watching this at the NFL last night, and I love watching it because it gives you some insight to what went on in the game. They show you the guy that's mic'd up. You know, as much as I'm studying film, I can't see that, so I miss the spirit of it. Even though I see the physicality of it, I miss the spirit of it. And you saw Joey Bosa, Tom Brady taps him on the butt after one of the plays, and Joey Bosa says to him, come on, man. Give me some time, man. You're getting rid of the ball too fast. And Tom's, I wouldn't have to if you didn't come so fast. It was great. It's great stuff, man. That's why I love watching it. It's great stuff because it gives you that. And NFL films don't share that with nobody else. That's their friend. That's their monopoly. That they give. They put that stuff out, and only the inside NFL give it. And I love listening to it. But it tells you how frustrating that is for those great brushers, those guys that get to a quarterback. And with Tom getting rid of that ball. And the weather doesn't change that.
Right.
The weather doesn't change that. It's not like he's chunking that ball like Mahomes does down the field. The weather will not change him and his ability to just dump that ball off and walk down that field. And then hear or watch those guys start getting frustrated. It's going to be an interesting game, man, because they still got to dial up some plays, some explosive plays, if you are the Chiefs, because that's how you play. That's how you win. I thought the Colts were going to try to make him matriculate that ball down the field, and I thought the Colts had a chance, but no, they did not. They still got those big plays out of Tyreek Hill and everybody to beat the Colts.
So you like the Patriots in this game, right?
I'm not saying I like the Patriots. It's going to be in the Chiefs, I'm really wavering back and forth on both games. Both great rematches, and they were both played close games. You know, it in each game, and I talked about this during the weeks that they played. I said, okay, that new level for Mahomes. He was off early in that game against Tom Brady because he was playing against Tom Brady. That was his first time and always talked about it. New levels, new devils, new. That means new, next time you when you step up, you got new challenges. Same thing happened with Jared Goff. But they both came back later on in those games to give their teams a chance, and now this is the second go round. Man, I'm on the fence on both of these games, and I got to see what I'm reading and hearing and seeing, trying to feel the spirit of where these guys are as you go through the week to determine where you'll really land on who you'll pick, because both of them are very close. Now, if you tell me Dominican Sue going to play like he played and going to definitely show up, then I'm like, man, I got to take the Rams in this. I got to take the Rams. This is interesting. But on the other side, New England is talking about, woe is me. Woe is me. Nobody believing us. Listen, dog, I don't know how, as football players, we find a way to make it us against the world. I don't care. You could win 20 Super Bowls in a row, and somebody on the team is going to find a way to make it us against the world. And that's what New England has tried to do after going to 100 straight championship games. Now they're saying it's us against the world. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's only 8, but
it feels like 37.
Yeah. It feels like 100.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you this, Mike. I'm watching the game on Sunday.
Wait. Don't gloss over that. Do you know how incredible that is?
No, I know. I believe me. You want me to start? Believe me. I got it. It's all there. I understand.
That's incredible.
8 Super Bowl appearances, 5 championships, 8 straight AFC title games, 10 straight division titles. They haven't had a losing year since 2001. Can I stop now? 13 out of the every year, but 2 in the playoffs. I know. I get it. I got hemorrhoids from them. Let me just say this though. It was so bad Sunday watching this game. I had to go out like in the middle of the third quarter and cleanse myself. I needed cleansing because I couldn't take it anymore watching them just annihilate the Chargers. I had to go out. I already had taken a shower, so I couldn't take another one. I had to go out and take a nice long walk and just try to put the Patriots out of my mind to get ready for the Saint Eagle game. I got to tell you that.
Which will be better games. Now, guys, let me tell you something. And all of these guys, every wild card team lost. Now, I always tell people, and I played, I think, maybe 2 or 3 times in that wild card round and got ready to play in that divisional round. It is so hard because you are coming in and you just came off a high-energy battle wild card round, and now you're playing against someone, some fresh talent team that's very good.
On the road.
On the road, because you know they got the bye, and it's so hard to win those games, man. And you can see the difference, because anytime when the fresh team gets up, oh, man, all of it comes down on a team that played wild card weekend. It's just one of the most difficult things to do. And that's what I was worried about, the Dallas Cowboys, and was that going to be conveyed to them well enough to make them understand what they were facing.
Mm. So when we're talking to you next week, I know it's tough. This is part of what's going to make it a fun weekend. Are we previewing the old man Super Bowl between Breeze and Brady? Are we talking about the young guns, a little bit of mix of both? What do you think we're looking at next week?
And this is what's so great about this. We have an opportunity both in both of these games, and then possibly next week, if we're talking about the old men, then and this copycat league, people are saying, well, you know, that drop back, you still win with drop backs, you still win with old drop back quarterbacks. That's what the old guys are. That's what the old guys are. Thomas, Drew Brees. That's what the old guys are. And the young guys are the mobile guys. This is the challenge between old and new. This is and I'm not just talking about age-wise. I'm talking about style of play. This is the challenge right here, right now, because all of the young guys coming in have been more mobile quarterbacks. Nobody's looking for the Peyton Mannings and Tom Brady's anymore. They want quarterbacks that have the ability to move around. Look at Kyler Murray now, who jumped in, and all of a sudden Kyler Murray said, wait a minute, I was going to baseball. But now everybody wants these guys that can run and move, and I can do that. I can do that, and I'm throwing my name in the hat for this draft. Now, can the old way still raise his hands from the depths of death and say we are still here and win this game is going to be incredible. I think we may have one of each. I just don't know how to call that one of each. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Which one?
I don't know how to call. I don't know if it's Mahomes. I don't know if it's Mahomes and Breeze or Brady and Goff. It's going to be interesting, though.
Okay, before I let you go, I was talking to the great Michael Irvin. Where is the run of Nick Foles' magic is gone, even though, you know, who knows what happens if Alshon Jeffries catches the football there at the end, but we'll never know. Where is Nick Foles next year?
I after watching it happen back-to-back, I felt horribly for young Carson Wentz. In all of my years, I was looking for a spot where I could say now. And I remember when I retired and, you know, when I got hurt with my neck, we were in 99, we were 3-0, getting ready. We thought we were going to make another run. And then I was like, oh, you know, you root for your guys. You're hurt. You're still your team.
Sure.
But you want to know that you matter. You know, so if they lost maybe two in a row, made me feel okay. We still got a chance to get back, but at least y'all know I matter. Took you a little while. Of course, we lost four of the next five or something like that. I was thinking about Carson Wentz, and I said, my God, this got to be shaking him down. There's no, because if Nick Foles does this again, there's no way. The pressure that will be on him to have to come back and perform once they got rid of Nick Foles after going back-to-back with as a backup. Back-to-back as the backup in Philly. And now you're back to Carson Wentz. It would have been H-E double hockey stick.
But isn't it still, though? I mean, even though they didn't win it all this year, just the fact that he comes back, they make the run into the playoffs, they win a playoff game, came pretty close to winning again in New Orleans. Doesn't that still keep the pressure on Wentz?
It puts some. It puts some pressure. But not if he gave him back-to-back Super Bowls. It would have been, oh, my googity-goo.
It would have been worse, yes.
It would have been worse, but it's still pretty bad.
It's still bad.
You may have had to think about keeping Nick Foles and trading Carson Wentz and then going back and looking for you another young guy in another 2-3 years.
Yep.
You may have had to be forced with that.
Hmm.
Michael, we'll talk to you next week. Always
Mike,
great.
It's always a pleasure, bro. You know that.
All right, guys. Love talking to you, too.
All right, man.
The great Michael Irvin.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.